Welcome to The Atypical Leader with Rick Brennan, where we talk about harnessing what makes you unique
and maybe even a little odd,
while at the same time dismantling the notion that you have to be a certain type of person or act a certain way to be an effective leader.
Definitely a leader, not a follower.
I like the sound of this.
It's time for us atypical leaders to come out of the shadows and learn to be proud and confident in what makes us different.
I'm proud of who I am.
I'm proud of who I am.
Atypical Leader starts now.
So how you doing?
I'm okay. I got a lot of anxiety out.
You're
today.
Full of piss and vinegar, aren't you? A lot of anxiety out. That's because she was picking on me earlier.
Exactly. I wasn't picking.
Yes,
on
you were. Tell everybody
we were
you were.
A conversation.
Oh my God! So you're all over your hissy fit.
I wasn't a hissy fit, darling. It was not a hissy fit.
Oh no, no, don't worry about it.
To our listeners, it was not a hissy fit. It was a very needed conversation. Anyway, I think I feel so good because I've been so damn sick for the last week.
No, you have been. You honest to God, I know you have been. Like, I was there for a little while. We all go through that. I was talking to my son this morning. He's sick. You know, he's got some sort of virus or whatever, but he's finally booked his flight to come down here, so that's good.
Oh, when's he coming down?
He's coming down November 30th.
Oh, he's going to spend December? Or
yep.
All of December?
Yep.
Oh, wow. And Jess is coming down too?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. It'll be a great little Christmas for sure.
Yeah. How cool is that?
It's very cool, yeah.
Yeah, good. Good. And you're good? Everything's fine with you?
Well, I'm not too bad, you know. Used and abused, but, you know, I'm used to it.
Oh, fuck. Is this going to go on for a long time?
Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea.
Oh, my God.
You know, I was going to be all happy and talk about some happy things, but, you know, fuck it. No, I'm just teasing.
Let me get my long needles out of my purse and just stick them into my eyes. How's that sound?
Well, do whatever makes you feel good.
Okay, I will. I because it's all
where'd
about
you where'd you park your broom?
Fuck off. Did you hear that, everybody?
Oh,
fuck
my God. Right. Anyways, let's get on with stuff. Let's get on with this podcast. Jesus.
Okay, what is this podcast? I think it's about how are you, Mr. Brennan, feeling about this podcast so far to date?
Well, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good. I think that, you know, we're learning as we go. I think we're getting lots of good comments. Everybody who's listening to the podcast has lots of good things to say. You know, to be honest, I think we're still trying to figure out our style. And I think we're coming to the point where, you know, we want to be informative, but not to the point that we come across like we're psychologists or doctors or things like that. We want to be informative, but fun and entertaining. And I think, you know, being a little outrageous and all that brings it down to the ground level. And I think that's what people really want to hear.
Well, anytime you get your sense of humor back, we can do that.
Wow. Wow. It's hard, though. Anyways, no, so I'm feeling good about it. I'm telling you about this podcast. I am learning a ton about myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I always knew that your environment impacts. I mean, we all know that. Surround yourself by great people and all that, and you feel great. Right. And if you surround yourselves by other types of people, maybe you don't. But it's I can see now the more and more I learn and I self-reflect, it's actually really determines what Rick floats to the top.
Oh, I know that. I have seen that.
Yeah, no, you know, there's, you know.
And not being sarcastic, I have.
Yeah,
I have seen that.
For sure. And it's, you know, I'm different based on my environment, you know, and it goes back as far as there's no doubt that some people from my past would see me as an asshole and some see me as a team builder. Some see me as aggressive and some see me as tremendously laid back. Some loud, some see me as quiet. It never ends. You know what? It'd be fair to say that some people would actually describe me as a Jekyll and a Hyde. What do you think of that?
I can see that. I can see that.
What do you mean you can see that? Jekyll and Hyde.
Of course I can see that.
Oh, my God.
Some days you're the most laid back, cool guy. And then the other days you're just like a bear. You're just like a bear sometimes.
Wow.
It depends. There's nothing wrong with saying that. I'm a bitch sometimes. Sometimes I'm not.
Well, since you brought that up. Well, okay, let's change the podcast. No.
But talk about Judy being a bitch.
But anyways, so, you know, and it's interesting to me how there can be such a difference in how people can see you. In fact, a friend of mine got a call the other day, And this person that they knew says, I hear Rick's doing a podcast on leadership. Or he wrote this book on leadership and he's saying, what the fuck does he know about anything?
And why would he be saying that about you?
Well, because this is a guy I knew from the past. In fact, we coached a little bit together, you know, and, you know, but he sees me. I guess he sees me in that light. And there were some drama that went down back in the day. And, you know, that skews people's points of view. And, you know, you got to remember, this is back in the day of participation medal culture.
Oh, okay. Just question, how old would you have been back then?
Oh, I don't know, 30.
Well, I just didn't know if you were a young and or not.
You mean a young, like in 20s? No. Yeah. Not at all. But anyway, so this guy, you know, he's like, you know, what's Rick doing that? Like, what's Rick know? Like, you know, he sees me as sort of the hard, rough, self-serving type of guy. And then when you heard that Joey's talking about neurodiversity, you're going, again, what the hell would he know about neurodiversity? Which now it's interesting how it all evolves, because then my other friend would say, well, did you have you read the book? And the other person would say, I haven't read the book. Okay. Don't need to read the book. How about the podcast? You listen to the podcast? I don't need to listen to the podcast.
No, I might learn something.
I might learn, but that's exactly the point. We get stuck in the way we see things, the way that if I've known you from 30 years ago, then that's what sticks in your head. That's the same guy. And it's a sad thing to think that people don't evolve, that people don't change. I hope that I keep evolving. I know that I certainly, this podcast and writing the book and all those things has certainly forced me to evolve. And I kind of like it.
How have you evolved by doing it?
Well, just I'm learning so much more. I mean, you know, we talk a lot about in this podcast how self-awareness is key to really being successful as an atypical. You really need to know yourself. And as we do this podcast and we have different guests on, we go through different subjects. You know, you can't help but think about, take what you've learned in that podcast and relate it back to your life, and you start to learn and understand why you did the things that you did.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I've learned that too. But I agree with you. I mean, as you are aware, I mean, every guest brings something different to the table, don't they?
I think that there's no doubt that, as you know, as this guy's made these comments, and I've reflected on them, I really start to understand that, and you know that. Again, we talked about this already, how one group of people make you feel good, another group of people make you not feel so good. And I know for me, it's hard to not react to that because it's not really in my control. It's the way my brain will function very different in a happy and positive environment that I feel at least is happy and positive.
Right. You know what? I can remember the first time I saw that really happen to you.
What's that?
We were out for dinner. So this would have been not last year, the year before. And you and Monique came over to the house before we went out for dinner and we had drinks and whatever. And you and my sister were carrying on as usual. And we went to Jara and we were sitting at the end of the table and then all of our other friends joined us and you were not comfortable. Like you just changed, your whole demeanor changed. And I even remember you saying to me, this isn't fun anymore.
You're absolutely right. I remember that totally. And it was because I knew now I had to be cautious of what I've had to say.
Well, with us, you didn't have to. We were all laughing and joking. And we were even laughing and joking with the other people around us. But as soon as the rest of our table came, you really became quiet. That was the first time I saw how much your environment meant to you.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And I'm learning that more and more. And I look back in life and you think about successes. I'd even go back as far as the early, early days to where I was coaching the swim team. And that was back in the days where, I mean, there were no rules, you know.
Right.
It really was parents wanted to get the kids out of the house for the afternoon, so they sent them to the swimming pool, you know. They joined the team. Management was looser. There were no rules to follow. We were really allowed to be creative and do our own thing. And it was in that environment where I could flourish. You know what I mean? Not constrained by what everybody else thought and did, but allowed to do my own things. And along with these group of kids, we just kind of figured it out on our own. Actually, I ran into some of these kids this summer at a high school reunion. And to a person, I mean, it's one of their highlights of their life like it is one of mine. It was an outstanding experience. And we were just young. And it really shows you, and I mean, and the results speak for themselves. I mean, the level that we won by still stands today, I'm sure, you know. So it's not right. like just good environments and bad environments. It's what exceptional environments can do. And I think right. it's when you get that exceptional environment where you have that certain level of trust and love and respect or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, the impossible becomes possible.
Good. Nice. That must have made you feel good.
It does. And I go, yeah, no, it really does. But, you know, that was that circumstance. And then, you know, later in life, years later, I would go back to coaching when my daughter wanted to play ringette. And, you know, I started coaching again. And that was fun, too, through most of the years. It was all fun, but it was a different environment. Things had changed drastically from in those, but I don't know what it was, 20 years, where, you know, the participation medal culture started. Parents were very involved. Christ, the stands would be filled at practice.
Oh, my God.
You know, and it was all about accountability. It really became a dirty world. It was all about having fun.
But you like fun.
Yeah, but that becomes defined fun. Because the girl who's working her nuts off is having fun. And the girl who's doing snow angel in the corner is having fun. So right. How do you define fun? Where is that level of, and there's no doubt that my mind goes to, listen, we can have fun, but hard work is essential. You're on a team. You have other members on the team. You're accountable to those members. And there's a balancing of that. Now, the problem with that would be my perspective. And now with, you know, parents and involved in everything, and even the associations are all parents, and everyone's got their way of thinking about things. And of course, you know, everybody wants to win, but all those balls just don't always align up, in which puts a different environment. I can tell you that there's no doubt as my time went on in that environment, my being comfortable diminished and my performance would diminish. And I would start to change to try to adapt to my circumstances. And that wouldn't play well. That wouldn't play well at all. You know, and that didn't go over a long period of time. And I survived it all and we did well and we still won tons of championships and stuff that, but it still wasn't that. You know, I don't even know how to describe that super empowering, feel good kind of environment where you feel like you can do anything.
I was just always so glad my daughter didn't want to do sports, because I don't think I would have been very good in that environment.
No, I don't think you might have.
I think that parents would have hated me.
Yeah. Well, there was lots of groups of parents, right? Lots of groups of parents that hate each other. So, I mean, I shouldn't say it wasn't always like that. There are always good years and bad years and great parents. Yeah. And I even when I talked like that, let's be serious, 90% of the parents are great. But like anything in life, it's the other. It's always that 10% and they're loud.
10%, and those are the ones that I can't stand. So, I did not get upset when she decided she didn't like sports. Not only that, I didn't want to get up in the morning and I didn't want to go and sit in a soccer field. My high heels didn't work.
Well, no, I get that. So now I look back at that and I see that, okay, they see this difference between the fun and relaxed environment that the swim team gave. And I look at ringette where it was more interference going on, but you still managed to make it work. But it was those lessons that I'd take through. I would take through to the business world. And I got to tell you, if anyone really wants a different perspective on leadership, go and do some coaching. Go out into the world and do other things except for besides the job that you're paid to do. There's lots of lessons to be learned. And, you know, I could see back then, and almost intuitively, I don't think because I knew it was the right thing to do. I wanted to have fun. I wanted to be relaxed. I knew that my brain functioned better when I didn't have all the stress. So that's kind of where I went, right?
I understand that, yeah, because then your anxieties comes up. And it's hard to please everybody. Trying to please everybody, you just lose yourself.
Exactly. But you put the flip side of that. Instead of not trying to do, I'm trying to be in an environment where I can have the right people, have the right dialogue, the trust, the respect, the hard work ethic, everything is there. And man, I think, you know, from the Atlantic team that I led, we had that. And we, you know, we've always had great numbers, always surpassed our results. When I go into the RBG group, the retail group in Toronto, again, created an environment, a culture where people could succeed and people love that.
Right.
And it wasn't that I would operate better in that environment, it's that everyone would operate better in that environment. And of course, you always got a couple renegades, right?
Yeah, of course.
And I'm of the philosophy that, well, if they don't fit the mold, the positive, mm-hmm. trusting mold that I think is right, then cut them loose.
Yeah.
Well, it's harsh, but it's got to be, because you always think, well, isn't that unfair to that person? But guess what? It's unfair to the other 30 people working in the business to have an individual that's disruptive and right. takes away from their work-life experience.
Exactly. I don't think it's harsh at all. I think more people have to be accountable like that, because you're right. They just make everybody else. You know what it does? It brings everybody else down to their level, because people get pissed off and go, well, if he's not working, I'm not going to work.
Yeah, and it's not even the hard work part. It's more of, it's almost the typical thinker who wants to instill their intelligence, their right. perspective onto everybody else. That okay. I'm smarter than you. I can talk better than you. I can present better than you. So therefore, you should all be listening to me. And you know what? They may be smarter and they may be all those sorts of things, but they're not a good addition to the team.
Right. Because I'm sure other people in your teams had those qualities too.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there was very intelligent people on your team. They were hardworking. They were, you know, all of those things, but they were able to go with your management style and really take off with it. They didn't have to prove to you that they were smarter than you.
Right. But there's another level of intelligence to know that. I got to tell you, intelligence, IQ intelligence is way overrated.
Oh, I agree.
Oh,
I agree.
Jesus.
But that's what I mean. Like the other people, you're not taking away from their intelligence. They're just saying, hey, we like this way this is working and you're not doing it. So boot them.
Right. And yeah. even this feeling comfortable thing that we're talking about, I can see now that even affected my personal life.
Yeah.
Because, you know, family can pull at your strings. You know what I mean? No one can push your buttons like family because they know exactly where to push them. And there's no doubt that when I felt relaxed and in control and happy, I acted one way. And when my buttons would get pushed and mm-hmm. I wouldn't feel that I could necessarily always trust the people around me, I would act a very different way. Not that I diminish any responsibility for anything. That's not the point. The point is just back to that. When you feel you're in that safe bubble, you act differently. And when you're not in that safe bubble, it's a different thing.
Is it because you've said that word a couple times now, control? Is it because when you're in that safe bubble, you feel you have more control?
You know, yes, but not the way that you meant it. I mean, because I can think back when I'm in that bubble and I'm with my team.
Yeah.
I feel safe to lose control because no one's going to take advantage of me. That other part of me doesn't come to life because, okay, I'm out, I don't control, I've made mistakes, but everyone's going to come and say, how do I help? What can I do for you? What can I do? So I'm in that bubble, that supportive bubble, and that really allows me to diminish all of that. But when I'm in that bubble, when people go, you made a mistake. Oh, look at you, blah, blah, blah.
Obviously, when you're in a safe place, you're so comfortable, you trust so much that you don't have to be in control.
Right.
You can step back and let your team be in control. They take it. But when you're in that unsafe, does that make you feel like you want that control back? Deal with it better?
Well, I think you're looking at it the wrong way. I mean, I'm saying that if I'm in a safe environment, lose control is no problem because I feel safe. If I'm in an environment that I don't feel that I can trust or people around me are going to take care of me and I lose control, then anxiety comes flying in. It's not the anxiety because I've lost control. It's the anxiety that people may take advantage of that situation.
That's really interesting.
And it's not about not making mistakes, you know. I mean, we all make mistakes. Mistakes is just evolving, you know.
Yeah.
But that goes back to the control. If I make a mistake and people are there to support me, I'm good. And when, you know, you're in that other environment, you make a mistake, people can take advantage of that. Or perception that they may take advantage of it, that brings all those negative things to the forefront.
And also, I would imagine, for me, anybody hates having their mistake pointed out.
But I don't mind having it pointed out if I trust the person who's pointing it out.
I was just going to say that, but when you're in that environment where you don't trust the people and they point fingers at you, it's a totally, totally different feeling.
Oh, 100%. That's exactly.
Yeah.
So getting in. So that's what I mean. That's where my involvement I've got out of this podcast. It's not, I mean, I always knew my environment was important. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm learning more, I'm getting a different perspective, we're getting a bit of science into this and how neurons work and all that sort of stuff, right. I really see now how it was more than I ever thought. And I understand how my five or six teams really, really excelled. It wasn't because we had great strategies. It was because we had an environment where we truly trusted each other, supportive. It was helpful. It was all those things. And at least we were smart enough to get rid of the disruptive forces that allowed everyone else to be, happy and productive.
I think that's really important. I mean, I know even now, if I have my tribe with me, I'm totally different than people that I, don't know or don't like or don't trust. I'm totally different.
Right.
But if I'm with my tribe, I fly.
Right.
As you have unfortunately seen it several times.
Yeah, no, but and it goes to, and that's what I want to be clear though, because it's not, because there's good and then there's mm-hmm. this great and beautiful environment. And it's in that beautiful environment with all the right people. And when people say, that's just, you're dreaming. It's not. I've been parts of five or six teams that was unbelievable environment. And it's in those environments where we achieve things that no one thought we could achieve. And almost, we worked hard because working hard, fun and working hard almost became the same thing. So that was not a big deal. But we achieved things that you couldn't believe. And almost easy. It wasn't hard. It only got hard when other people interfered that weren't part of the team, who were smarter, who were intelligent,
Who knew better.
Who knew better. Oh, God, yes. There's so many of
that. Tell you the way that you should be doing it.
Right. But what's key, though, to all of this, just go on your comment, is we in this podcast want to talk about how you empower yourself, how you create the conditions for success.
Right.
So you can't sit there, I'm not in that type of team, so I guess it's not going to work. Well, no, that's what we're saying. Go and goddamn find the right team.
Oh,
find the
exactly.
tribe. Make it happen for yourself. Those are the things you need to do. And listen, it's not you go in Monday morning or Tuesday, you got to figure it out. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes commitment. But over the long haul, if you want to truly be successful and achieve things that are unbelievable, then those are the things you need to do. And it's step by step. It's experience after experience. It's just keep learning and evolving.
Well, exactly. We're talking about a span of a 40-year career for you here.
Right.
Where you really came to the peak when you became senior vice president of McKesson. That's a long learning, right?
But back when I was a teenager is when I coached a swim team. And the very same principles, I didn't know them then. A fluke. It was a fluke. It just kind of happened, but it did set the stage saying, this feels pretty good. I kind of like this.
Right.
Look how successful I am. Who could have thought we'd ever be successful like this? So that, I think, instilled in my brain that that's always the environment I wanted, but I wasn't smart enough to go out and say, let me copy this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It took you a career to fine tune it. To understand what you were doing with it.
Yeah, I came better and better at it, but I think it was all fundamentally the same.
It became more complex as time
went up because you get more and more people interfering. The culture is changing over time. You got all these things that are evolving around you, so you've got to change and bob and weave through that. But at the end of the day, trust, respect, admiration, hard work, fun, it's all the same, right?
I find sometimes the hardest thing, though, over the years, changing, going back to that fellow that you were talking about at the beginning of this podcast, changing the perspectives of us. And, I think back to when I was younger, teenager, 20s, 30s, 40s, and the things that I said, some of the ways I handled situations, how I thought, but more, what I said and what I did. My God, if I haven't evolved from that, shoot me now, will you? You got to evolve from it.
But do you care what that other person thinks from 30 years
ago?
I care
what I think.
Yeah, you care what you think. So what he thinks becomes almost irrelevant, doesn't it?
I know. But, it's like my brother, give you a good example. My brother will say, you're blah, blah, blah. I look at him, I go, Greg, I was 14 when that happened. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, but family doesn't count. Family doesn't count.
Well, that's just what came to mind. I have good friends, too. And it's like, I was like that when I was 20. But I'm not like that now because, again, if I haven't evolved, shoot me.
No, no, agreed. And there's so much of that. I see that too. Yeah. You know, if I go to a university reunion.
Right.
Trust me. You know, now I tend to act the same, so maybe they're right. But, you know, people don't really see the evolution. They remember you as you were. And, I mean, that's kind of life, I guess, a bit. But you're absolutely right. We got to take that on to ourselves. And when we look at other people, we also have to understand that they're evolving. They're changing. They can be very different people than they were back in the day. Or, you know what? Back 5 years ago or whatever it is. There's not a time limit to that.
No, exactly. I mean, I can remember at work, I don't know, I had a beef with somebody, some comic, I can't remember it was. And, you know, 3 years later, he phoned to talk to me and I talked to him. And one of my associates says, you talked to him? I said, well, yeah, why wouldn't I? And she said, well, you know, you had this fight with him. I said, oh, my God, that was 3 years ago. I don't remember that fight. Like, why would I hold on to that? Hopefully I've changed and he's changed.
Well, you have changed because with us, we had a fight today and you called me back like 5 minutes later. So listen, you saved 2 years, 12 months, or whatever. You know, look, you're getting so much better.
You're such a bastard sometimes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, the things you say to me. They're hurtful, you know.
What would you say would be a good couple takeaways from our chat today for people?
We all need to understand that your life journey is not about making mistakes. It's about learning from them, evolving, understanding how to control and maximize your atypicalness. But most of all, find the right environment that will allow you to be at your best and shine.
Definitely.
Well, that's that about that.
That's about it?
That's about it.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to another episode of The Atypical Leader. If you haven't already done so, like, share, and follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. By liking and sharing, you will help other atypicals find all of us, so we can all start to leverage the stories, strategies, and strengths of what make us all unique. Keep listening and remember, take charge and push away those self-doubts. Leverage what we're talking about. Be confident in who you are and proud of what makes you unique.
So join me, Rick Brennan, and my co-host, Judy Sims, on the next episode of The Atypical Leader. And don't forget to get your copy of the book, The Atypical Leader, Harnessing the Power of Neurodiversity, on Amazon. To learn more about us, leadership, and neurodiversity, please go to our website, atypicalleader.com.
Thanks for listening. Let's do it again next week.